Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, what can be learned from the spirituality of Ramadan in the modern life?
The lifestyle of Muslims changes during the month of Ramadan. They refrain from eating, drinking, and other pleasures every day from dawn to dusk. They instead try to nourish their souls by praying, reading the Quran, and by doing charitable acts. Muslims around the world celebrate this month in many different ways in accordance to their local customs and cultures. This cultural diversity, while maintaining piety as the essence of Ramadan, is beautiful in itself. In Europe and other Western countries, thanks to the presence of Muslims, Ramadan and its traditions have become part of the local culture. Ramadan, in the meantime, is a good opportunity for non-Muslims to learn about Islam, the Quran, and about this important pillar of the religion. This is important, especially when in this age, people are disillusioned by materialistic and consumerist lifestyles. This week's Islam in Life asks, what can be learned from the spirituality of Ramadan in the modern life?
Modern life as world culture is everywhere today. In Muslim-majority countries as well as in the West, we find exactly the same lifestyle, very often based on consumerism, eating more, having more, and still the essence of life, the meaning of life sometimes is lost, even in Muslim-majority countries. And the very essence of the months of Ramadan when we are fasting is to come back to the essence of life, is to avoid eating and drinking, and to think about the essence of life, the meaning of life, coming close to God and not forgetting the poor people in our societies and in our world. Yet, how can we keep in this modern life the very essence of this spiritual life, coming back to the meaning, trying to avoid having more in order to be someone, to come back to the essence of our being, to come close to our heart, to come close to our life, to come close to our Lord, to Allah, to God, and to try to understand how do we have to live this life and how do we protect our spirituality. It's a critical answer that the Muslims are facing wherever they are. Not only the Muslims, by the way, but also our fellow human beings when it comes to the very essence of their life. They can be believers or not. At the end of the day, we are sharing the same essential questions about our life. And these are questions that we have to ask when we are fasting as a school, not only for the months, but for our life. And to answer all these questions that we have, I'm joined by Dr. Musharraf Hossein Al-Azhari, OBE, Chief Imam and CEO of Karimiyya Institute. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let me come to a very simple and yet deep question. What is the very meaning, the spiritual meaning of the months of Ramadan?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we look at the glorious Quran, there is a verse in which Allah prescribes and makes fasting compulsory. And at the end of it, it says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become pious. It's a crude word, pious. I think the تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become muttaqi, person of taqwa. And when we reflect on what taqwa is about, you know, we find that it's about becoming aware of God, conscious of God, yes, exactly. Fearful of God, having a strong faith in God, loving God, and being godly, meaning obedient to God, and always being aware of our responsibilities towards the Lord, really. And of course, you know, this sense that we belong to God and we are responsible and accountable to God makes us very responsible people who will then guard the rest of our dealings with fellow human beings. So really, you know, the Quran says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting will make you a God-conscious and aware person. And it does. You know, when we, let's take an example. We're going to be fasting in hot weather this year. And for possibly here in UK, it'll be about 18 to 19 hours long fast.
Mm-hmm.
And
just this imagine, is for the people living in Europe.
Yes, that's yes, in Europe. Is, yeah. And we're, you know, just imagine it's a hot summer day. You're in your kitchen. You've got the most exotic drinks. You've got the most tasteful and delicious food there. And your stomach is grumbling and turning over with pangs of hunger. What do you do? You don't even think about it, never mind looking at it or taking your hands towards that delicious food and drink. Why? Because you're aware of God, that consciousness, that awareness of God, and you don't even think about it. Yet it's halal, you know, that fantastic, delicious mango drink or the delicious food you have, it's all halal, but you don't want to even think about it. You have made that forbidden on yourself because you're in that state of fasting. You're aware of God and your responsibility towards God.
So there is something which is the essence of our life. It's to be God conscious. Yes. It's a taqwa, this link to the one, the link and the understanding of our life. During Ramadan, it's more, the focus is on it, and, and it's more spiritual because we are fasting, because things that are halal in normal times becoming haram during the daytime. So this is something which is important. What is the very specific characteristic of Ramadan that is helping us to add spirituality to the spiritual normal life
of
a Muslim?
You know, it's very much like the season of spring. In spring, you have blossoming of flowers, you have new vegetation, and there is growth, there is new life. And, you know, we just saw this wonderful clip where you did see this, that the Muslim society, the Muslim community becomes vibrant, dynamic. And I know, you know, as an imam, that my masjids become full in Ramadan. There is a spiritual spring, really. And people are people want to, you know, worship God. They want to do more of zikr. They want to read the Quran. They want to be in the masjid. They want to do more thinking and contemplation. And this is, of course, and it's happening because of Ramadan. It's happening because there is an ethos of Ramadan. You know, there's there's an environment has been atmosphere is created, I think, by the whole community, rich and poor, old and young, everybody's doing it. And I think it's that community sense that really encourages. And I think this is the whole philosophy of having the Jummah, for example, the assembly, the gatherings, the coming together of people. I think it really multiplies the blessings, it multiplies the eagerness, it multiplies the enthusiasm and the energy, I think. It's sort of energy from everybody.
It's twofold. At the same time, it's on a personal ground. It's something which has to do with very deep purification process. Yeah. It's purifying the self and coming back to the center. And at the same time, you have this very important movement, dynamic coming from the community.
Encouragement. So there's an encouragement.
So the atmosphere is there. So in our contemporary life, what can we expect and can we hope coming from the Muslim experience? And they are sharing this experience with all the other traditions, because in the verse that you were mentioning, it is said that this was written and also requested by all the other religions. So this is something which is common. So what can we expect and hope in our modern life coming from this?
Well, perhaps it'd be good to look at why fasting. You know, what is there about fasting that has an impact on our morals and spirituality and on our social life? What is it? And it's very interesting to note that, you know, there is a group of international dietitians and nutritionists, people expert in nutrition, who actually fast 2 days a week. These are not non-believers. And because they know that fasting for 2 days a week is really good for your health. Of course, we Muslims don't. Don't fast because, you know, we because of the health benefits. Although that is a natural byproduct and a spin-off of this wonderful devotion. We do it primarily because it's divine ordinance. It's a command from Allah.
But there is something which is important in some scholars saying it's good for your heart and you will discover that it's very good for your body. So it's not primarily for the body, but then the consequence is always good because everything which is coming from God is good
and
for us.
And it's a powerful detoxifier. Yeah. I mean, it gets rid of the all those toxins that we have accumulated over the months. And it's a fantastic, you know, I mean, there's no doubt about the health benefits of fasting. However, the spiritual benefits are what, you know, for example, are described by the Prophet, may peace be upon him, in many ahadiths. And that very beautiful hadith, you know, which the Prophet Salman Farsi, radiallahu an, narrates in Ibn Huzaymah that on the last day of Sha'ban, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a powerful khutbah. He stood up and he said, "O people, there comes upon you now a great and most blessed month, wherein lies a night greater in worth than 1,000 months. The fasting during this month is made compulsory and the night prayer is optional. Whosoever tries drawing near to Allah by performing any virtuous deed in this month will be given the reward of obligatory prayer duties, and whoever performs an obligatory duty will be rewarded 70 times more." And then he goes on to say, "This is indeed the month of patience, and the reward for patience is nothing less than paradise." And then he goes on to say, "It is the month of sympathy with one's fellow beings, and in this month the livelihood of the believer is increased." Now it's interesting here. You know, Rasulullah is preparing the Sahaba, his Ummah.
He says, the companions, yes.
Before Ramadan, not in Ramadan. He says, get ready for it. What is coming is so blessed and so important. In another place, you know, he says that if the Muslims knew the worth and the value of this great month, they would hope that the whole of the year would be like Ramadan. That is how wonderful, you know, this month is. But here it's interesting, you know, he says that two things about it. He says, you know, you expect this is a month of patience. Shahru Sabr.
Yes.
He calls it, and actually, this is a month. And of course, fasting requires patience. You know, it's trying to control our appetite, our hunger for food. Sadly, you know, we live in a very affluent society. We do have a lot to eat. And in fact, you know, we know that the health specialists are constantly now complaining about this, about obesity and overeating. You know, it's a serious, serious problem, really. And the reason is possibly, one of them, of course, is we just have too much and we can easily get it. But the other is, I think, we are losing patience. We are losing self-discipline. And that is, I think, where the great value of fasting is. It's not one day or 2 days. It is for 30 days. Now, it's not too long and it's not too short. It's enough time actually to develop a wonderful habit. 30 days constant, in our case, for 18 to 19 hours of fasting, really is going to make us self-disciplined people who will be able to control.
And the point in what you are saying, which is very important, is you are not free because you have what you want. You are free because you decide who you want to be.
Then
this is the discipline of being instead of just this superficial freedom of having. It's deeper to think about the discipline. And what you are talking about, patience, endurance, and perseverance, are the qualities that are expected from the from the Muslim. One question that I have I want to ask you about this. The problem is that very often, as you are saying, you are an imam and you deal with Muslims at the grassroots level, and you can feel that something is happening, that the people want this purification. They are involved in this community transformation. The atmosphere is changing. And yet sometimes we have the impression that the Muslims, when it comes to eating at the end of the day, they are eating a lot. They are sometimes the spirit of Ramadan is lost into something which is more traditional than disciplined.
I agree with you that we lose some control, and I think again we need to be careful how we do the iftari. In other words, we must be very careful that, you know, we normally need about 2,000 calories in a day. And in fasting for 19 hours, you know, we should now be having almost half that amount, really, which means that, you know, we have a good breakfast and we have a good iftari with something like 300 to 400 calories, and then perhaps something after the Taraweeh, you know, to make up. And then what we will you will see is you could lose as much as 3 kilograms of fat if you were to actually go according to this style, which would mean that, you know, your opening of the fast should be with very simple food. And simple food means really a lot of vegetables and fruits and salads rather than fatty fried food. And I think that's where we have to control, really.
That's good to listen to you as an imam coming with these regulations, because it means at the same time that Ramadan is not about just rules. It's a philosophy of life.
It is.
It's something which is deep here that we... And this is also where we need to get with this philosophy of life, the other dimension of Ramadan, which is be very disciplined with yourself without forgetting your brothers and sisters in humanity.
And, you know, this idea, you know, the Prophet ﷺ says it is Shahrul Sabr, but it is also Shahrul Mawasa. The, you know, the sympathy, which is, it is all about relating to others. Of course, sabr also is about how you relate to others, you know, others' idiosyncrasies, others' angers, others' rudeness to you, others' injustices towards you, and yet you say, no, I'm not going to take revenge, I'm not going to react, I'm going to control myself. Of course, this is really a tall order, but that is what's expected. But then he says it is Shahrul Mawasa, which is sympathy. You know, we've got to share the feelings of others. We have to help to alleviate their sufferings and their sorrows, really. And alhamdulillah, it's good to see that, you know, we have the Ma'idatul Rahman in Egypt, for example. I know at the end of the day, people would invite anybody to come and
welcome to,
to do a iftari with us and share food with them. That is excellent. But I think you're right that the whole point of this month is really to teach us self-discipline. Why self-discipline? Why fast? Well, you know, I think there's a very important relationship between hunger, between controlling our appetites and our spiritual feelings and spiritual well-being. And I think every religion recognizes the value of this hunger, because when we are hungry, and this is sort of a zuhud, really. It's detachment from the material world and material things, really. Mm. And that is what leads us closer to God. It takes us to the other, you know, from the material, the physical, to the spiritual. And I'm sure, you know, we notice that towards the end of the day, you know, before the iftari, there is real sense, you know. Perhaps this is due to very low glucose contents in our brain and other changes, metabolic changes that occur. But it is very congenial to a spiritual sort of thinking and spiritual development, really. It does make you, when we listen to the Quran at that time, you know, after Asr, or read the Quran, or we reflect and we study, we begin to feel that closeness and nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, and I think what is very important, and this is why we understand why it was prescribed to all the other religions and the last religion in Islam, is really this: the consequences of this self-discipline is manifold, but it's spiritual. By the way you look at yourself, it's physical, by the way you are dealing with your body, and it's social, by the way you are looking at your society. Because by being very close to the one, you also have to be very close to the last people within the society, the people who are marginalized, and to come to their dignity. And this is where, by fasting, you come back to وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have dignified human beings, and the rich as well as the poor. And this is, you know, you mentioned the Prophet, peace be upon him, and this is something which is essential in the way he was with the poor people. He was with serving. Now, with all this, and this is a very powerful message, this is the very essence of Islam, if we understand Islam in the right way. And still, when we are in our world, and we are talking about the consumerist societies, economic order, the global village, as some people are talking about our world today, the global dimension of everything, everything is interconnected. And it's as if sometimes the Muslims, when they start fasting, they come back to themselves as a community and they forget the world. While, don't we have to think about the message that is coming from within our tradition when we are fasting, to send this to and to share it with our fellow human beings to understand the very essence of this religion?
there are two things I'd like to say to that. One is, yes, in Ramadan, we need to be inviting our non-Muslim neighbors, for example, to an iftari, or to ask them to come and see and share with us. And sometimes what happens is actually if you invite a non-Muslim, they will say, well, I'm going to try to fast. And they do. And it's interesting. But, you know, my feeling is this, that in Ramadan, we Muslims know that this is special. Yet, somehow, I think we fail to give it the due attention and the time that it deserves. What I mean by that is, you know, a lot of my taxi driver, Musallins, members of my congregation, work as normal in Ramadan as they would work outside Ramadan. And I find that, I don't think that's quite right, simply because, you know, in this month, you have to give extra time, as the Prophet ﷺ later on in this hadith of Salman Farsi goes on to say that. He says, you know, you must increase your dhikr, you know, particularly la ilaha illallah and istighfar. You must seek forgiveness in this month. You must negate all these false idols and gods that you carry in your heart and mind. You've got to negate those. And you've got to do more of the and seeking Allah's forgiveness. And then he goes on to say, you must also seek two other things. One is paradise, and other is seek refuge from hell. And this all requires time. So we really do need to give more time in Ramadan and reduce our work.
Thank you so much. I think that what we have starting with is very important is the whole philosophy of life that is behind the fact that we are fasting, and the fact that once again we come back to the self, we think about ourselves, and as we are talking about this very important dimension, it has to do with discipline, but it's also to do with the very meaning of freedom. When you are disciplined with yourself, you get the right freedom of being, and then you know how to deal with having. And what you said also is something which is important in the physical side, is to be very careful with what we eat, very careful with the way we deal after we are breaking our fast. And the last point, which is important, is to be in touch with the surrounding society in the way that we are presenting the philosophy of fasting, but yet, as you were saying, it still is a way towards the self, which is adding prayers, adding dhikr, which is remembrance of God, and to care about oneself, which is the starting point about Ramadan. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen. And here is the way to contact us.
Islam in Life welcomes your opinion. So please send us your suggestions as well as criticisms on any of the shows you have seen or would like to see. You can do all this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also be part of our online platform by joining our Facebook page, Islam and Life, on Press TV, where you can share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage with debates, and view past shows.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Dr. Musharraf Hussain Al-Azhari. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah. We'll be right back.